And once again, we welcome you to the Ed Cooley Radio Show, presented by East Commerce Solutions. Tonight, we are live from the Da Vinci Restaurant in Providence, Rhode Island, in Federal Hill. And we're glad you are with us on 103.7 WEEI-FM and Friars.com. I'm John Rook, along with the head coach of the nationally 12th and 13th ranked Providence College Friars, Ed Cooley. You slipped a little this week, Coach. I'm very disappointed.
Yeah.
You won a game on the road at UMass by 24 points, and you slipped two spots in the poll.
I'm just thinking of Butler right now. You know, that is for people like yourself to vote and whoever else votes. That's not in our mind.
We should blame Kevin McNamara because he has a vote.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Kev has his opinion. I love him to death, and I'm pretty sure he did the right thing. But at the same time, a number has nothing to do with who we are and who we're about to face.
Absolutely. So the Friars finished the non-conference portion of the regular season at 12-1. Getting into the national rankings, the only loss being to the current number one team in the nation in the Michigan State Spartans. And frankly, I'm guessing, Coach, that if you'd been told to you before the season began that you could go 12-1, you'd probably have taken that.
I think you'd take it every time, you know. And, you know, the one thing I think our players really value is to take one game at a time. And, you know, let's get better every game. And, you know, we try to go 1-0 every game we play. I think it's important to keep your guys and your players' mindset right to the next opponent. And as excited as people get as they look at your overall schedule, my job is to make sure that we keep them, you know, intact, and it's only about the next game.
Seems like it's been 2 or 3 weeks since you played UMass, but it was only 1 week ago tonight where you made a trip to Amherst and a very athletic UMass team, and you kind of took over that athleticism part of it fairly quickly and ended up winning by 24, as I said. How much did that decision end up surprising you, considering that you still had some walking wounded or at least some walking ill in that game?
Well, I mean, I was happy to see our guys came out with a purpose. You know, we played at a tempo and a pace that, you know, that we've been practicing. It was good to get guys back on the floor, get back in game rhythm, see our chemistry continue to grow. That was a really good road win for us, and it was good to see some of our younger players continue to develop.
You know, when you fight through injury and illness and you're not sure, you know, what you're going to have to do, and I know that Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots are probably doing a little bit of the same thing right now, largely because of the injuries, you really don't have any choice but to play the guys that you have on your roster. It's the next man up philosophy. How do you feel your team learned from having to utilize that philosophy?
I can't tell you how proud I am of the group. You know, we've dealt with injuries, we've dealt with sickness, and it really has been next guy up. And, you know, that's really important for us to, you know, to believe in our players, believe in the system that we're trying to implement, believe in each other, share with one another, care for one another, but more importantly, love the process of development.
You know, development, I think, is a word that probably will be used to describe Ben Bentel's play as this year continues to progress. Here you are, you're 13 games into the season, so you're really barely a third of the way into the year, and yet the non-conference portion is over. You're getting ready for a grueling 18-game conference schedule, and yet Ben's game is on just about the minds of all Big East fans because, first of all, number one, he leads the Big East in scoring at almost 19 points per game. Number two, he was named the Big East Player of the Week this week for his 32-point and 12-rebound performance against UMass last week. Where is his limit?
You know, his limits are with the team. You know, again, in order to have success like that, the players on the floor have to give him the ball in situations where he can have success. We feel he's put a lot of time into his individual game, but collectively, I look at these individual awards as team awards because the team is what makes the individual, in my opinion. You know, by putting him in the right spot, giving him the ball on time, on target, his preparation has allowed him to grow. And that's what I'm really proud of. It's great to be recognized like that. But again, it's a team sport, and our players are excited for him. As coaches, we're excited for him. On our radio show, we're excited for him. But that's one of those things that's what you did yesterday. Butler awaits us in Indianapolis. Yesterday's news is old. We're looking forward to tomorrow's news.
You know, it's got to be a little bit of a kick for you, though, to see, to have, you know, a player like Chris Dunn, who's getting all the preseason accolades, and then come out and be able to play the way that he is and try to live up to some of that, and then to have a young man like Ben, who's really, he's just a sophomore academically and athletically as well, improve like that, or to see him take this big step forward. Did you have any idea what he was capable of before he got started here?
Yes. Absolutely. We'll all be lying if we said we didn't. We saw his growth and development coming along. I think a lot of our players have been able to grow and develop like that when given the opportunity to do so. A lot of it's about matchup, a lot of it about foot speed. But absolutely, we as a staff have seen this come, and that's why we recruited him the way we did.
Well, with his play, and even though he had to miss, what, a half of a game because of the ankle, and Chris missed a couple of games because of the illness, you had the opportunity to get some guys' run time out on the floor to sort of bring their games up to a level that you're going to need, because you know you're going to have to depend on guys in certain situations when you get into conference play. In conference play, it's all about really matching up against that other team. And you know that team is going to be physically tough. You're probably going to be in a hostile environment, obviously, when you're not at home. And that can be a rude awakening for a young player. So getting them this little taste over the course of the last week or two of the non-league season, where have you seen the improvements? What have you noticed that you think might bode well for your team on down the line?
I think game time. I think overall game confidence. It's one thing to have confidence in practice, but you know when the bright lights are on and you're playing for something, you come out. Kyron coming off a double double. You see Drew getting in, making some big shots in the game. Jalen becoming a rebounding fool. Guys really, really stepping up and playing the role of which they need to play in order to have success.
All right. So we've got the Friars at 12-1. As Coach has mentioned a couple of times already, it is the Butler Bulldogs coming up on New Year's Eve afternoon in Indianapolis. It's a heck of a way to start out the Big East season. And we'll jump into that a little bit more. But part of what we're going to do tonight is sort of take stock of where this team has gone and come from over the course of the non-conference portion of the season. And then where you feel, you know, maybe the sky or where the limit might be for this team, where the growth opportunities are, if you can foresee any pitfalls and where you'd like to try to avoid those. We might also get a little bit of the lay of the land and try to get a view of the landscape in the Big East Conference.
Sure.
Because this last week you had, before today's new rankings came out, you had three Big East teams in the top 10. You slipped a little today, but that's okay. You only played one game, so you have perfect opportunity to take care of matters in your own hands this Thursday, as I think everybody is aware. But it doesn't seem to me like, well, let me go back for a second. A couple of years ago, ESPN did one of those 30 for 30 films called Requiem for the Big East.
Sure.
Over the quote-unquote death of the Big East Conference, such as it was. I don't think anybody's singing a requiem or speaking a requiem for the Big East anymore, because the league right now has been one of the top two or three in the RPI even since the start of this year. Again, for the third straight year since this newer configuration, came into being. And I know that's got to be a point of pride for you guys.
It's a big point of pride, not just the basketball coaches, but the athletic directors, the presidents. You know, they made a very bold decision to break away from the football schools and become a basketball-centric conference, which is continuing to improve. You know what I mean? There's a lot of conferences that think that they're the best at this and they're the best at that. All we want to do is continue to compete at a national level, recruit elite student athletes, and try to be the best that we can be, and then let the numbers speak for themselves. And I think the numbers have done that. So we're really proud of that. We're looking forward to continue to build the Big East brand, but more importantly, build the Providence College brand.
One of the things that you have done at Providence College, and I think this is also part of the reason behind the success for the league as well, is you've learned how to schedule to what I think expectations are. You've scheduled up. You haven't really shied away from anybody. You've been out and you've been strategic in trying to find non-league games, as have other of your partners in this league, other schools in this league. And I think it's part of the reason, A, why the RPI is high, and B, why you're probably finding it hard to get people to come in to play you, because they know that you can win. Villanova scheduled up a little bit this year, took a couple of losses, but they might be better for it in the long run. Butler is scheduled up. Hey, Seton Hall had a tremendous home win last week against Wichita State,
sure,
which was nationally ranked before the season started. So I think the ability to schedule and not be afraid has really helped what I would perceive to be the overall thought process behind the Big East.
Well, I think the coaches do a really good job in our league. I think we have some tremendous players. And again, a lot of this here, when you talk basketball, it's a game of matchups. And, sometimes, the matchup just favors you, on two or three games at a time, and then you're going to run into a matchup. How are you going to do? But we feel, because we have so many interchangeable pieces this year, we feel we're a unique group, and our point guard posts up, our five-man shoots threes. Is he a five-man? No. Is he a point guard? Maybe. I think we have basketball players that are interchangeable, and that's what makes this group so unique and enjoyable to coach.
What that also means is that you can be a very, very tough matchup for the other guy.
Yes, you know, and again, I've said this before. Everybody continues to ask me, especially in the media, well, how are you going to match up to player X, player Z, F, and G? I don't know, but last time I checked, it's not pick up basketball and it's not make it, take it. You got to go down the other end and play defense as well. So, you know, we're probably not going to win every game we play. We're probably not going to lose every game we play. We want to be competitive. We want to be tough. We want to be relentless, and we want to make sure we take care of one another. If we do that, we're going to give ourselves a chance to have success.
Silly question, but are you happy with 12-1 through non-conference?
I'm excited about the fact that we continue to improve, and 12-1 is telling us that we've improved in a lot of games.
Okay, well, then let's see if you can get another 12-1. Would that be all right?
That'd be fantastic.
All right, we're going to talk about that. We got the Big East schedule to talk about. We'll also be going into what the team did over the Christmas break, over the holidays, how they've stayed in shape, how they're pointing toward the grueling schedule that is getting ready to start as well, coming up in just a little bit with the Big East opener on Thursday afternoon in Indianapolis against the Butler Bulldogs. Once again, this is the Ed Cooley Radio Show, presented by East Commerce Solutions. Tonight, we are live from Da Vinci's Restaurant on Federal Hill in Providence, Rhode Island, on 103.7 WEEI FM. Hey, don't forget Da Vinci's in Federal Hill, second to none in service and hospitality. Allow us to cater or host your next event. First floor, upscale ristorante serving Italian food. On the second floor, live entertainment and great atmosphere. It's at 146 Acorn Street in Providence on Federal Hill. You can call 401-572-3911. And that's where we are tonight at Da Vinci's on Federal Hill for the Ed Cooley Radio Show, presented by East Commerce Solutions. John Rook, the head coach of the Friars, Ed Cooley, joined now by Friar sophomore Jalen Lindsay from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Now, Jalen, did Mama take care of you over the holidays?
She did. Okay. You know, I go home. She always takes care of me. So, you know, I'm excited to go home, but I'm glad to be back.
Good that you were able to get away and sort of rest and recharge just a little bit, right?
Of course. You know, it's good to go home and just recharge, you know, feel the home atmosphere and hang out with your family and friends and stuff like that. But, you know, like I said, glad to be back and get back to work. So,
well, you mentioned that as we were talking before we came back from the commercial break, and you said you kind of opening up some eyes to even some of your family back in Tennessee that, you know, Providence is playing pretty well, and somebody couldn't believe you guys are, you know, top 10, top 20 in the country?
Of course. You know, there's family members that didn't believe in us, that didn't think we'd be where we would be. So, you know, it's good to prove them wrong and show them what we're made of. So
you should have told us, well, that's why I went to Providence in the first place,
right?
So we could be in this position. Right,
right. Right.
What was the toughest part for you during those first 13 games? I mean, you know, you guys obviously had a couple of real tussles in there. You had an outstanding effort against Arizona, came up a little bit short against Michigan State. But what do you feel like you in particular learned, and then what do you feel like the team learned coming out of that non-conference schedule?
As an individual, I feel like learning my role was kind of the biggest thing for me. You know, figuring out what I need to do to make the team better. You know, as a team, I feel like we just had to slow down a little bit. I feel like we had to, you know, listen to what the coaches were telling us and produce the way we're supposed to produce. And I think we did that, and then we're doing well. But like I said before, you know, we're not satisfied. I think we have a long way to go, but I think we're making progress.
Coach, you and I have talked a lot about role-playing, and the fact is that these guys are going to have to – a lot of them will have to buy into specific roles for this team to get to where it wants to go. So how have you tried to portray these guys in buying into the roles that you sort of have envisioned for them?
I think any time you coach a team, you have to be open. You have to be honest and direct. And I think the best teams sacrifice. I think when you're a giver, you sacrifice, and there are going to be parts of your game that you're going to have to sacrifice for the greatness of a team. So you may at some point be the leading scorer. You may be the leading minute getter one game. The next game, you may not play. But if the team is winning and you fulfilled your role, what do you do well to help the team win? At the end of the day, that is the most important thing. And the more the players buy into the team thing, the more they buy into not just playing a role, but accepting their role and then really emphasizing their role within the group, I think your team begins to get better and better. And I think this group of players is probably the best group that we've coached since we've been here that epitomize what their role is, because they don't look in the mirror and see them. Well, they see their teammates.
See, I think that's a great thing, because that's something I'd like to ask both of you about, because frankly, that is the got to be one of the hardest things for a coach, coaching staff, an adult to portray to a younger player, to a younger person, is, you know, you do have a job to do. You have a role to fulfill, and the only way we can all get to where you'd like to go, to where we want to go, is for you to follow this. And without definitive proof, without instant gratification, sometimes it's really tough to realize, isn't it, Jalen?
Yeah, of course. You know, we all know that, you know, we all have to portray our roles, but all of us as a team, we just want to win.
Yeah.
And I think that the only way to do that is we play our roles to the T. So I think all of us have accepted that, and it's not all about the individual stats, but it's about team goals like that. So you know, coach and all the coaches do a great job of doing that and helping us get through that. So we just kind of realize that, and we just kind of do what we can.
Coach, how do you go about getting these guys to accept their roles? That can't be an easy job.
Well, it's just like being here at this wonderful restaurant tonight. You know, the cook can't be the radio announcer. The radio announcer can't be the cook. The cook can't be the bartender. The bartender can't be the parking attendant. Everybody has their role. If everybody accentuates their role, great. You have a great meal. Your parking's wonderful. The radio announcer does his job. The coach does his job, and everybody lives happily ever after. But
yeah, but I can cook.
Yeah, but the thing is, here's the deal: only you eat it.
Ah.
Right, but only and you may.
I don't mind eating my own cooking. My own cooking's pretty good.
I'm gonna play my role.
I bake. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
Wait, what you make?
Make a little pumpkin pie, make a little cake, make sometimes fruit breads, like cranberry breads, things like that.
Is that what we ate in the locker room and why my whole team got sick?
No, sir.
Okay.
It is not. Okay.
I just wanted, no, I'll bet you, I would love to try some of your baking goods.
Okay. One of these days.
I like pumpkin.
One of these days. You like pumpkin? We can do that.
This team has.
We can do that, Robin, right?
Robin, hook me up, all right? extra nutmeg. Extra nutmeg.
Okay.
All right, I like nutmeg.
We can do that.
A little bit of cinnamon. This team is accentuating role play. And the more they do it, I think the better we'll get.
Do you guys really spend time during your practices role playing, as you said, pretending or working on situations that might come up to where you might need someone to step in and do something specific? Jalen, you want to try that one?
Here's the deal with that question.
Okay.
That's in the locker room, baby. Everybody, okay. Everybody that's listening, that's only for the Friars to know. I can't.
Well, I'm not asking for specifics. I'm just asking, are you out there kicking the tires on other things?
Next question.
Wow. Wow.
You know, I'm just
shut down.
No, I'm just saying, I love you, John, but that's just one of those things we just can't. You know what I mean? It's something about the secret recipe that you're never going to share.
Okay, I understand. You need a little bit of that psyche thing going on.
There's something about Colonel Sanders. He'll never share the chicken. He'll never share it.
All right, so Jalen, pretend he's not over there, okay? And he's not in this conversation at all right? How do you guys practice doing what you do during the course of a week?
You know, like you said, next question.
Towing the company line. Man, they learn fast, Coach. They learn fast. That's really good. You know, Jalen, I know that you have had a prep career that was widely praised, and you were a top-ranked recruit. You come to Providence. There's a lot of expectations. You managed to get off to a great start. You have that unbelievable start of the game against Florida State last year at Mohegan Sun, and then you turn your ankle. And then it was really not the same the rest of the year. And even this year, it's been a struggle at times, and yet we can see you growing and taking those steps as you need to take. In fact, you know, my partner, Joe Hassett, he gets mad at you when you don't shoot the ball.
Well, not every time. Not every time, because Jalen will jack up some shots that are bad shots, and I love him to death. But he's gonna
most of the time when Joe gets mad at you, it's because Coach is already mad.
Right.
I love when our players shoot the ball on balance, on time, on target, off the pass, not off the bounce.
I think that's probably a good way to put it. What are you looking forward to most as far as Big East play getting ready to start?
Definitely see the competition. I think that our conference is one of the best conferences in the league, and I think it'll be fun. It'll be exciting. There'll be some great games, and I think it'll be a challenge, but I think that's what we need. I think that challenges will make us better. So I'm excited to play in the Big East Conference and for the second year. So we're excited. I think as a team, we're excited. Coaches are excited. Fans are excited. So We're ready.
They should be. They need to grab those tickets right now, don't they?
Right, right.
Absolutely. Jalen Lindsey, sophomore from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, joining us here on the program. We'll get another timeout in here. We continue from Da Vinci's on Federal Hill on 103.7 WEEI-FM. And welcome back once again to Da Vinci's on Federal Hill in Providence as we continue with the Ed Cooley Radio Show presented by East Commerce Solutions. Don't forget, though, you try Big Tony's Pizzeria, home of the gangster wraps and voted number one pizza by Providence College. Free delivery until 4 a.m., which is always important around a college campus. Walking distance from PC at 525 Eaton Street in Providence. Call 401-490-0000. Lots of zeros. John Roque with Ed Cooley, joined now by Friar Junior Guard Junior Lumumba. Junior, this has been a great start to the season, without a doubt. And I know that you've had as big a role in this. We just talked to Jalen Lindsey about role-playing as well, and you seem to have found your niche. How hard was it for you personally to figure it all out?
Like you said, it was pretty hard at first, just coming in and, you know, being with a team with so much expectations. And just coming in and being able to produce and help the coach and the team, it was hard at first.
You know, now that you've kind of figured out which way you want to go with it and you're trying to figure out what the coaches want you to do, how hard is it for you to actually carry forth following the plan? Or is it actually easier for you to play the game?
I feel like it's easier now. I think I've gained Coach Cooley's trust. And, you know, coach is all about winning. And I think that's one thing we all have in common in this team. Everybody wants to win. And, you know, as one of the leaders, I think it's easier for me to now just come in, work hard and trying to lead my guys.
Well, you know, the way that this season has played out thus far, I'm not sure anybody could have really wanted or dreamed for a better start. I mean, you'd love to be 13-0. And I know that one against Michigan State probably sticks in the minds of a few because you guys had those guys with about 4 or 5 minutes to play. Where do you feel like you lost that?
I thought it was a pretty good game. I got to give credit to Michigan State. They came in, played a very tough game. But at the end of the day, you know, we were trying to win that game too. A lot of people were just happy with us being in the game. But I thought our guys, we all came in with the mindset of winning the game. And we fell short, but I think we got better that game, too.
I think the biggest play of that game, Junior makes a three at the buzzer.
I was just going there. Good job.
One clock had it with 1 second. The other clock had it at zero.
Mm-hmm.
It had it either on his fingertips or whatever, so they looked at the clock that favored Michigan State. Had that ball go down because the very next possession, they make a three at the buzzer instead of being up two.
6-point swing.
You're down five.
Right.
So, to me, I thought that was the game. And as Chris continues to play a little bit smarter defensively, had he not get in foul trouble, I think we're having a different conversation.
Yeah, I thought that was a huge swing in the game.
Sure.
And I know that had to be a little bit deflating because you could almost feel it out on the floor. I know you felt like you got it off. I mean, by the hair of hairs, it was a little bit late apparently. And then when they came down and hit that dagger on you, you could almost just feel the wind go right out of the sails. Even though you still had a chance to win it, did you learn something by going through that process?
Yeah, I think we learned that you can't just rely on that shot. We made a lot of mistakes down the stretch, and I think that's what causes the game, to be honest. That shot was definitely one thing that if the shot would have went down, it definitely would have helped us. But at the end of the day, you just got to keep playing.
Sure.
You know, your game has improved to the point now where I don't think anybody – I mean, there might have been some people who didn't know you before who might have gasped when you tried to get offensive with your game because they thought of you largely as a defensive specialist. And I think that's some of the reputation that you might have brought with you when you transferred here to Providence. But now you look like you're very comfortable in the flow. And I'm wondering what you worked on to improve your own game over the course of the summer and the offseason in order to make this opportunity happen for yourself.
Throughout the summer, you know, I worked hard, you know, with Coach White, just on my physique and strength. And I also worked in the gym with Sham God. And we worked on my offensive games, just being able to shoot the ball, catch and shoot situation off the dribble, and just playing freely. And I think, you know, I was able to bring that into the season, and that helped.
You know, playing with guys like Chris and Ben and Jalen and some of the other guys on this team as well that are also contributors, and getting to know them and knowing what their tendencies are and where their strong suits are and maybe where their weak spots are undoubtedly has to help you at least a little bit, right?
Oh, definitely. I definitely got to give credit to my team. You know, as of now, you know, we clicking, and we played a lot of basketball together, and I feel like the chemistry is getting better. It's always getting better.
The good thing about this group is I think we can play, and we're trying to play multiple styles. I think when we can come in and you can have Kyron and Chris on the floor, you can come in and you can have Drew and Kyron on the floor, Junior and Chris, Junior Kyron, Junior. You can have some combinations that you have to guard us differently based on the personnel, and that's how you develop roles. And the more we buy into those, the more success I feel we can have. You know what I mean? So you can you can kind of be a chameleon in a lot of different ways, but you got to be able to camouflage to make sure that we can win some games.
Well, you've camouflaged yourself, in fact, Junior, by handling the ball.
Sure.
You know, you come in and increased your point guard skills as well, and I think that causes everybody to stop and say, whoa, wait, what's he doing? Because that allows either Kyron to go off and play the wing, or, you know, Chris to go off and play the wing, or even Jalen to pop out and do that, because you're capable of handling the ball, and I think that adds a completely different dimension to the offensive flow. So who did you learn from in terms of your point guard skills?
Just playing the game, watching the game. And just being a student of the game, to be honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you pick up anything in particular from individuals, or as you said, is it several guys that you try to kind of pick up and learn from?
A little bit of everybody. You know, we're fortunate to have one of the best point guards in the country right now. And, you know, practicing with him, playing with him, you know, you learn a lot from him.
Well, you're getting ready to step through the Big East schedule again for yourself for a second year. And after having gone through it last year, team won 11 games. You had some success, got in the NCAA tournament this year. What's a reasonable goal for this team this year?
To beat Butler.
Yes, sir.
That's your answer.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Did I interrupt something here?
Yes, you did.
Okay, very good.
It's one game at a time. Our goal is to be the best that we can the next game. And then when that game's over, it's the next game. Then when that game's over, it's the next game. When that game is the next game, we're on to Butler.
You and Bill Belichick went to the same school, huh?
I don't know if we went to the same school, but we're on to Butler.
We're on to Butler. Okay, so then tell me about Butler. What do you know about them so far? What do you like? What have you seen of them? I know you're getting ready to learn a little bit more over the next couple of days as well, but what do you feel like might be a particular challenge for you?
They're a very solid team. They play together. They got a lot of veterans guys, and they're tough. So as of now, that's all I know, and that's, you know, the coaching staff, they're going to get us ready for them.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks, Junior.
Thank you.
Great answer.
Junior Lumumba.
My son.
Absolutely.
Junior Cooley.
Everybody. Junior Cooley, Jalen Cooley, Chris Cooley, everybody, right?
Absolutely.
You're
I love
it. The company line. All right. Let's get into another break. We'll come back and continue with more. The Ed Cooley Radio Show presented by East Commerce Solutions. Tonight from Da Vinci's on Federal Hill in Providence on 103.7 WEEI FM. Let the South Coast Health Team of Orthopedic Physicians care for your injury. We're the official team physician for the Providence College Athletic Department. Scheduled today, find a doc.southcoast.org. We continue with the Ed Cooley Radio Show presented by East Commerce Solutions. Live again tonight from Da Vinci's on Federal Hill in Providence here on 103.7 WEEI-FM and Friars.com. John Rook, Ed Cooley, along with Friars sophomore guard Kyron Cartwright joining us now. Kyron, this is this has been a pretty good start to your college career. Let's see, as a freshman, you guys ripped through the Big East a little bit. You get into the NCAAs. Now you're looking to do it again this year. So what do you feel like is the main difference between this year's team from last year's team?
Good question. I like the chemistry with this team a lot. It's definitely a lot of family, a brotherhood. And I think that's very important for any team. When you step on the court, you always feel together. Everybody's got each other's back.
That wasn't non-existent last year, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was always there, too.
What made it different or more special this year, do you feel? The chemistry part of it.
The chemistry part, I feel like we hang out a lot more off the court, which mm-hmm. helps always. You know, we build a bond with each other, everybody on the team.
That helps with trust, doesn't it? I mean, if you were able to, you know, to confide in a buddy, in a friend, a teammate, talk to him about human stuff, about personal stuff, about school stuff, that kind of thing, as well, and joke around with him, as well as, you know, the basketball X's and O's on the floor, that helps you trust, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, when we build a bond together, I always know anybody on the team will always have my back at any moment.
Well, I think to help out Kyron Cooley right here, you know, right? I think role acceptance to me has been the biggest change, and style of play has been the biggest change. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody has embraced it. I think when you embrace a role and you embrace a style, chemistry is going to come from that. I'm saying,
sure.
I think that's exactly what Kyron Cooley wanted to talk about.
When you came to Providence, has it turned out the way that you envisioned? Has it turned out better? How has it turned out for you in terms of what your expectations might have been before you ever stepped on campus?
I didn't really know what to expect, but I knew when coming on a visit, meeting Coach Cooley and the staff, I knew that I would always play with a team that would always compete very hard, and I felt that was, like, very important in my decision. No matter what, I knew we would compete. I knew we'd be competing every game, mm-hmm. every night.
And what do you think of the level of competition? You haven't been disappointed, have you?
No, not at all. I think the Big East is one of the best leagues, conferences, and I feel like every team is great, and you have to bring it every night. Anybody can be beat.
And I think you learned also in conference play a year ago that just about every time you play a Big East team, somebody's probably nationally ranked somewhere. It certainly seems like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does seem like that.
You know? So the other players all can play. The other coaches all can coach. The other fans all can scream. I mean, it's a pretty good environment overall. What sold you on coming to the East Coast from being a Californian?
I kind of wanted to get away from home, you know. You kind of need a experience to grow. I wanted to be able to grow up on my own, you know, and do some things on my own. And I felt that Coach could help me do some things like that as well.
That's cool. And that takes a lot of guts for a young man to do, to go that far away from home. So I know it must have been a lot of fun for you to be able to go back out to California and have a little success over Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, it was very big.
Did we all go? Did you go to Roscoe's? Did everybody go to Roscoe's?
Oh, we all went. I went to Roscoe's.
Roscoe's. Hey, guys, did y'all go to Roscoe's? Who went to Roscoe's? Everybody go to Roscoe's? It was closed.
Closed? Yep. You missed out on Roscoe's?
Yep, Junior just pissed on our parade. Thanks, Junior. Thanks.
Roscoe's is world famous, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Which one do you like best at Roscoe's?
You got to get the Obama special.
Atta baby. It is pretty good, I got to admit.
Yeah.
The wings, the gravy, all of it, yeah, absolutely. All the way, totally. For those that don't have any idea what it is we're talking about, Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles is the famous joint in the Los Angeles area. They've got about 9 of these franchises.
Is that how many
now?
They have now?
I think they have about 8 or 9 of them around L.A. They actually had one right down the street from the hotel where we were staying in Anaheim.
Kyron's going to buy a couple of them once he graduates from Providence College.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
You're going to own and operate a couple of Roscoe's. Nice. They'd probably be looking for somebody with a name, but you might have to tell them, I might have to put this business stuff on the back burner since I may still be, balling by that time,
No question.
Right?
Yeah.
So, Coach Cooley has already said you guys are looking forward to Butler, and I'm sure that that's also the case for you as well. Do you always feel like you got something to prove when you go out on the floor? Because you look like you play with a little bit of an attitude, and I think that probably helps in a lot of ways.
I don't feel like I have anything to prove to anybody. I just want to get out there and compete with my team, and I want to play hard for the team and help us win.
Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to excel because, the level of competition is such that, hey, somebody you're going up against is obviously a very good player as well. But when it comes to almost the whole mano a mano thing, I mean, you kind of feel like, hey, this is my chance to shine. This is my chance to do what I do best.
Not at all. I just get out there and let the game come to me. Just try to get a feel for the game every time. I'm not into getting into a personal battle on the court. I'm just trying to sacrifice for the team, make the team better, help us win.
You schooled him very well, Dad Cooley.
Well, I think he echoes the sentiments of the entire team, and I think that's what makes this group so special. You can put any player up here, and they'll talk about the team first, and that's the most important thing. Individual accolades will come. Team success is more important than an individual award.
What's the most exciting thing you think is on the plate this year for this team overall?
Butler.
I tried, Kyron. I really did. I tried hard. Coach kind of stepped in the way of that one. We know it's going to be Butler, and we know it's going to be a good game on Thursday.
Great game.
Thanks, Kyron.
You're the best.
Kyron Cartwright. Our own Californian as a member of the Providence College Friars. All right, stick around. We got more to come, including Coach Cooley's keys to the game as the Butler Bulldogs, as he said several times, are where the focus is right now. You've got a matchup of top 15 teams coming down on Thursday on New Year's Eve. We'll get into that coming up as we continue with the Ed Cooley Radio Show, presented by East Commerce Solutions from Da Vinci's on Federal Hill in Providence and at 103.7 WEEI-FM. Ed Cooley Radio Show, live tonight from Da Vinci's on Federal Hill in Providence, rolls along here on 103.7 WEEI-FM. John Rook with Ed Cooley. You can always ask a question of Coach Cooley. The hashtag on Twitter, Ask Coach Cooley. So make sure that you submit your questions before every show, and we'll try to pick out a few and use them. We've got one here from Mike, Coach, who says, how do you feel about the quick turnaround from December 31st at Butler and then coming home for St. John's on January 2nd?
Television dictates a lot of what we do with respect to times, and you know, Fox has been a great partner of the Big East, and you know, you're at the mercy of programming, and you know, what they'll do is they'll make sure every team goes through one of those one-day preps. I think we only have one, maybe two games this year,
right,
with the one-game prep. So I think it's a great question. You know, we as coaches have to accept it because that's just what it is. But you know, our players, that's why you play in these conference tournaments. You play back-to-back to prepare yourself for the Big East tournament. Then you play in, you know, the conference, these tournaments to also have one-day preparations, of which we went through. So we've had practice with that.
Yeah, you learned how to do that in Anaheim very well, I would think, right?
Yeah, and I think we also had another game. I think we played on a Saturday, then we played Monday to prepare for our everything we do in the non-conference is all about conference play.
You know, and we didn't get a chance to really delve into it, but we have talked about the subject before, how you set up your schedule non-conference-wise in an effort to not only help you with the RPI and with the selection committee on down the line, should you need that, all that kind of stuff, but also to prepare you for success in Big East play.
Sure. And our players, to their credit, are really dialed in and locked in. You got to teach the players what it is to scout, what is personnel. You know, we're heavy, heavy on film, heavy on personnel, heavy on what is the other team trying to do. You know, so the players, I mean, what a lot of people don't see that we see is our players are students of the game. You know, we don't just roll the ball out there and say play. There's actually a method to the madness of what we're trying to do.
Time for Coach Cooley's winning combination, brought to you by Ocean State Oil. It is Butler. It is historic Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis on New Year's Eve afternoon at about 2:30 in the afternoon. And Butler's ranked ninth in the nation. They've got basically four starters back from a team that made the NCAA tournament a year ago. You had some success against Butler there. They came back and kind of nipped you at the end at home a year ago. And it seems to be a typically tough Bulldog team. There may not be a program who has benefited more from moving up in terms of their leagues that they've played in than Butler, because they were once one of the Cinderellas of the country, going to the Final Four for a couple years in a row. Now they're a Big East contender.
They're definitely a Big East contender, and they'll be there the whole year. They have two pre and first-team all-conference selections in Dunham and Roosevelt Jones. They have one of the more surprised players in the league in Martin.
Keelan Martin,
and then their big guy, Wideman. I don't know all these names. The players know them. So we got to go there. It is going to be a physical, old school Big East game, you know, and again, they're going to try to impose their will on us. We're going to try to impose our will on them. It's going to be an execution game. It's going to be a game who has the least mistakes. You know, they're averaging close to 90 points a game, one of the top five scoring teams in the country. So it's definitely going to test us early on our defensive principles. Are we tough enough? And are we disciplined enough to continue to get better and continue to improve?
Two names, one you might be more familiar with than the other, certainly would be familiar to Friar fans, Andrew Shrabis, the young man who's from Portsmouth, Rhode Island, who starts at center for Butler. They're largely undersized, really kind of like you are in terms of not having the skyscraper in the middle. And then Tyler Lewis, who came in to take over for Doug Barlow at the point guard position, transfer from North Carolina State, a former McDonald's All-American.
Sure. I mean, again, very, very good team. Five players averaging double figures, Tyler Lewis being the sixth one, averaging 9.4 points a game.
Right.
So, again, we're going to have to be on our A game, playing in a very hostile environment. I'm pretty sure their home would be packed. And, again, what our players are getting accustomed to is there is an X on our back. People are going to bring their A game. The fans are going to bring their A game. The players are going to bring their A game. They are going up against what they feel is a team that has a chance to beat them.
You have to relish that role, though. Walk in with a little bit of swagger to what you're doing based on where you've gone already this season.
I want our players to have that swag every day of their life, not just on the basketball court, but have that swag in life, have that swag when they walk, when they talk, act like they belong, and then deliver. I want that from our players because they've earned it and they deserved it.
You know, being the fact that this is the very first conference game and a big message could be sent regionally, nationally, locally as well, is it a little bit of a disappointment to think that you have to start out conference play with a big game like that, or is that why you come to play or coach at a place like this?
That's the schedule that they gave us. That's the schedule we're going to play. It's one game out of 18 league games. It's not going to make or break us if we win or lose it. We want to make sure, again, it sounds like coach speak, but it's real. Get better. Love each other, care for one another, and make sure we embrace the opportunity that we have.
With a team that scores at such a great rate as Butler, obviously it didn't look like the 30-second shot clock would be much of a factor in this one, but is this a question of really having to clamp down on defense, or can you simply play your game and not so much worry about having to give extra effort on the defensive side and slowing those guys down? In other words, can the two games mesh, as you suggested earlier, and the best team stand at the end?
Our identity, part of our identity is pace, tempo, and speed. We're not slowing down for anybody. It is what it is. We're not changing. We'll make some adjustments, but we're trying to get to the rim as fast as we can every single possession that we have. So if the score is 140 to 141 and the Friars win, so be it. But we will not change our identity.
That's what we'll look for. Butler at 2:30 on Thursday afternoon, and then the next game at home at the Dunkin' Donuts Center, a 3:30 tip-off on Saturday with a St. John's Red Storm. We'll have the broadcast at 3:15 on Saturday afternoon.
How about the food here? How about the food?
Outstanding.
Outstanding.
How about a round of
food.
Applause
Absolutely.
For Da Vinci's, huh? Great place. Come by and visit them here on Acorn Street, just off Federal Hill in downtown Providence. For everyone who's been a part of this one, we thank you for being here tonight. Hope everybody had a great holiday. Was Santa good to Santa Cooley?
I have Christmas every day, man.
I know you.
Christmas is great in my house every day. Happy New Year to all our listeners and everybody here. Hope 2016 is the best yet to come.
And we're looking forward to the basketball of 2016 as well. This copyrighted broadcast is an exclusive presentation of Providence Friars Sports Properties, a property of Learfield Sports. Our executive producer, Kyle Droppers, coordinating producer, Katie Searle, technical facilities provided by Chris Majakowski, our studio operations, Laura Minicucci, our engineer, Doug Lane. And for Coach Cooley, I'm John Rook. Friars and the Butler Bulldogs, it'll be Thursday afternoon from historic Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. We'll have the broadcast beginning at 2:15 right here on 103.7 WEEI-FM. Happy New Year. Go Friars.